This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 at WHB. We've still got some time left in my interview with RJ Ochoa, the managing editor of Blogging the Boys, the SB Nation site, covering the Cowboys down in Dallas. So we will play the rest of that. Ran into a little bit of a time crunch. That's my bad. So here's the rest of the interview with RJ Ochoa.
The market rate for a franchise quarterback, because I agree, that is what Dak Prescott is for the Cowboys. And so he should be making that rate, whatever the market is telling them that it is. And yeah, Patrick Mahomes is an outlier in that, but I think what has been difficult in, you know, reading through all of the analysis and opinions on the quarterback, you know, paying the quarterback situation right now, is that you can't compare Dak Prescott to Patrick Mahomes. It's not apples to apples. That being said, what do you think Patrick Mahomes is going to make?
So Pat is awesome, and I think that that's important because he's not just this, you know, uber talented player. He's marketable and he's funny and he's charismatic and, you know, he's having the success that he's having for a really unique part of the country and a really passionate part of the country, you know, and a really visible team now and a rich historic team. I think all those factors play in. I think that Dak, for example, needs to top Jared Goff's $110 million in total guarantees. I wouldn't be stunned if Pat Mahomes eclipses $150 million in total guarantees. I wouldn't be stunned if Pat Mahomes' contract is $200 million in total value and is 100% guaranteed. I mean, any precedent is out the window with Pat Mahomes. And that's, you know, I imagine the fun part for Kansas City fans and things like that. And I think that the true sort of, you know, crazy thing about that is that it could be $500 million and nobody would care. Like, nobody would care at all.
And like, if they could find the money, then it just, like, yeah, okay, like, sure.
It would be like, that's fine. Like, we need to raise, we need to have a bake sale, like, raise extra, like, liquid cash, we'll do it. And that would be fun to, you know, be a part of and just kind of steer into and roll into. But Pat will set a bar, I think, that won't be eclipsed for a while in professional football. And I think that, you know, there's all the reason in the world to believe that he deserves it and that he's only kind of just beginning.
So I want to talk about the Super Bowl now, because in the AFC, at least, the overall consensus is that it's a two-horse race between the Chiefs and the Ravens. And barring any unforeseen circumstances or upsets, it's going to be between most likely those two teams to get to the Super Bowl. But the NFC is a little bit different. The Cowboys are a team being thrown around as far as, hey, a potential NFC contender for the Super Bowl. Let's say it is the Chiefs and the Cowboys in Super Bowl 55. You mentioned the receiving group with the Cowboys right now and how it is, you know, you could argue maybe one of the best in the NFL. The Chiefs, with their run it back campaign, bringing back a lot of their talent. How do you see those two offenses competing against one another, and what would that game look like?
Well, I would hope it would be like this, like 51-49 game. That would be awesome and stressful and crazy and amazing and beautiful and chaotic. I wouldn't pick, if the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl again, they're beating whoever. I mean, I don't care. I mean, they're winning again until they're not a part of it or not winning it. As far as I'm concerned, they have, you know, Pat Mahomes makes them that special. Obviously Kansas City has some dynamic players in Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons to believe in them. I'm a big fan, by the way, of like those campaigns, like run it back. Like, I know it's more like a baseball term. Like, I enjoy that a lot, like kind of a slogan for the year. I think the Cowboys would maybe, I think they would go shot for shot with the Chiefs for a while. You know what I mean? Like, if you're talking your typical like night out, it would be like 11:30 at night when the Cowboys would like start to kind of quit. And, you know, you're all of a sudden looking over at the Chiefs wondering, like, how are you still alive? Like, how
they've gone to get pizza. The Chiefs just ordered another round. I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, and not even just ordering pizza. They're like chugging water. I mean, you know, and like calling the Uber, and, you know, they're ready to quit and they're ready to punt on it. Meanwhile, the Chiefs are just totally fine. They're like playing dominoes or like pitching washers or something like that, completely unfazed. But it would be fun. And I'm a fan of historic teams and historic teams meeting in the Super Bowl. So I think Cowboys Chiefs would be a lot of fun. I think that you know, there have been some fun matchups between the Cowboys and Chiefs in recent memory. There was the Tyreek Hill Hail Mary at the end of the first half last time they played. You know, there was the Miles Austin game in 2009. So that was a lot of fun. It would be cool. And I think, you know, Dak Prescott is this marketable guy, and obviously you've got the Cowboys brand. I think if you've got the biggest brand in the Cowboys and the biggest individual brand in Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid and Mike McCarthy, it would have everything. And
yeah,
I think it'd be weird to put that in Tampa. I think it'd be more like a cool, like, California Super Bowl. But still, I mean, it would be great. And that two great uniforms, which would be a lot of fun to watch too.
That's another great point. They would visually look very nice on the field together. But I think, you know, the Tampa thing, I just think that the NFL's been behind it the whole time with Tom Brady going to now what is Tampa Bay. I think it's all by design. But before I get into a couple of questions as it relates to what this season might look like with the pandemic and so much uncertainty, I want to go back to one thing on Dak, because you talk about just kind of the criticism he receives and the question of whether or not he's a franchise quarterback, which you believe he is. And the one thing is his ability last season, specifically in the clutch moments. And the Cowboys were just 1-6 against playoff teams, and Dak had as many picks as he did touchdowns in those games. How much of some of those shortcomings were Dak, and how much was Jason Garrett?
I think that your average Cowboys fan would say it was 100% Jason Garrett. I don't think that's fair to anybody. I think the best microcosm of that phenomenon for the last, you know, 3 years, 4 years, all of Dak's career, was the Minnesota game last season. The Cowboys were playing against the Vikings on Sunday Night Football, and it had been kind of this back and forth game, and Dak had really kind of shown up. And was leading this incredible drive. I think he was 6 of 7 or something like that. I knew this stat off the top of my head for a while, but it's, you know, I've been watching too many, you know, movies and things like that in the pandemic. But he was marvelous on this final drive. And the Cowboys got down to the goal line and ran it with Zeke twice. And just to no one's understanding, it was very weird and very, you know, you have this, and you kind of, and I remember the tweets in that moment where this is the MVP drive, or this is the drive that puts Dak in the MVP conversation, you know, because it's on Sunday Night Football and it's going to be this big win, and everything looked like it was pointing in that direction. But the Cowboys run it with Zeke. They're unable to score a touchdown. They have this weird punt situation where they give Tavon Austin these improper instructions. And then later the week afterwards, Jason Garrett kind of threw Tavon Austin under the bus for that and kind of, you know, refused to take any responsibility. And that was when everything kind of broke. And it felt like, you know, before all of that, everything was good. Everything was fine. Kind of like the Tyreek Hill, you know, Hail Mary game. That game, the Cowboys were really great. And Dak Prescott was awesome in 2017. And the week after that was when Zeke Elliott was suspended and everything fell apart. The Cowboys went to Atlanta. Dak got sacked like 7 times. And so I think there have just been these breakpoints that have, I don't want to say broken Dak or broken a season, but have really changed everything. And I think that's where I would place fault on Jason Garrett, having, you know, an inability to plan, an inability to adjust, an inability to adapt. Because if the plan didn't go completely according to plan, whether it was for Dak or the whole team, you know, they just didn't win. And so I think that, you know, Pat Mahomes has been hitched to Andy Reid. I think Lamar Jackson's hitched to, you know, John Harbaugh. Every young prominent quarterback, save for Deshaun Watson, has had a head coach that, you know, really can elevate his game. And so I think that with that, you know, Dak has, I don't want to say succeeded in spite of Jason Garrett, but he's, you know, he's not had that person to order his pizza or to call his Uber. You know, he's had to do it kind of in the face of a rough night, which isn't necessarily the easiest thing to do.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be really exciting to see those two paired up. And like you mentioned, who knows, maybe we could see a Super Bowl with Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Mike McCarthy, Dak Prescott. But RJ, the other big question ahead of 2020 has nothing to do with the players themselves and everything to do with the current state that our world is in and what a football season might look like. As we know, Major League Baseball, Major League Soccer, the NBA, all postponed, trying to figure out how to finish their seasons. And luckily for the NFL, they have some time, but not much. I feel like the fall is going to creep up on us, and whether the NFL is going to be caught with, you know, their hands up, like, we don't know what to do, or they've got a plan in place. How do you see this whole thing playing out, whether fans are allowed or not? I mean, it's just really hard to imagine how the NFL financially is going to adjust if they aren't able to bring in that revenue.
Well, I agree that the fall is going to be here really quickly. Like, it always feels like the spring and summer are just these kind of like days we get through just to get to football. You know what I mean? But it kind of feels like we're just like simulating that in a weird way. I think, to your point, I think the NFL is fortunate to have the ability to watch a lot of things and understand how the NBA goes about this. I think MLS is an important factor just because so many teams play in NFL stadiums, and a lot of those factors and a lot of environmental conditions are the same. And so I mean, if I, you know, I'm certainly not a doctor. I don't know if that's obvious, but I would imagine that, you know, are there going to be fans? You know, maybe. And if I don't think there will be 100% capacity. I don't see how that's possible, given the state of our world. I think, you know, maybe it's a situation where, you know, you have condensed fans, and, you know, they're more spread out. You know, every fan is, you know, five rows apart, or, you know, 10 columns or whatever apart. So you get some people in there. I think that that's possible. I don't know that you even want to do that, though, because how long until, you know, somebody else is on their way to pizza and an Uber and has too good of a time and gets too close to somebody or whatever the case may be. So there's a lot of risk involved, certainly. But I think the NFL, you know, amazingly has trudged on with the draft and free agency. And so I don't know that they are, you know, going to be delayed. I think it's fascinating they built in, you know, kind of a fail safe in their schedule where every week two teams opponents have the same bye or whatever it is. But I think at the end of the day, I would be stunned if the NFL season isn't played or it really is delayed. I think college football certainly could be delayed, which would be a bit of a bummer. Although I'm a Texas A&M alum, and so, you know, we never really have anything to be too pumped up about. But
I graduated from the University of Missouri, so I feel your pain.
Yeah, well, oh, by the way, Derek Dooley left the Cowboys for Mizzou, so congrats there. I just, you know, there's such a different factor there. I mean, you know, I think the hypocrisy becomes more obvious, right? If you don't have students on campus, how can you play games? And the NFL doesn't have that factor. And the NFL has, I think that of every professional sports league in America, I think the NFL has the largest set of advantages to beginning their season in terms of time, in terms of financial backing. I think there's no question that they're going to lose money. But if any professional sports league in America can withstand that, I think it's certainly the NFL. I guess I'm also curious, like, how that must feel, you know, for the Kansas City Pulse. I mean, like, wouldn't this be like the time where like the Chiefs are like getting their rings and like there's cool ceremony for that? Like, that just must suck. I mean, a lot of this sucks. I mean, it all sucks, but you know, that just would be a unique thing to experience.
So there was RJ Ochoa in our conversation this week. Great stuff from him, as always. I am a firm believer that some of the best NFL or sports coverage you can get is from these SB Nation sites. No one is more tapped in than these site editors. RJ is a great example of that. You can find him on Twitter at RJ Ochoa, RJOCHOA, or read his work on bloggingtheboys.com. Blake, you came into my ear like you... What buzzed into my ear? Like, how do we describe that? You talked in my ear.
I talked behind the scenes down the tie line to you.
Down the tie line.
There
that's
you go.
That's what
you're looking for.
Okay. That's what I was looking for there. About the Alden Smith situation. And of course, the second we wrapped up our interview, he gets reinstated into the NFL. So now the Cowboys signed him beginning of April. And which was a shock, just given all of the off-field issues that he's had throughout his career. But the NFL, as of this week, reinstated him into the league. So adding a really solid key player potentially on their defensive line. I know that you were shocked because you hadn't realized that they had signed him. I know there's so much NFL news going on. It kind of did get swept under the rug. So what's your reaction to that?
Well, you being a Mizzou person, I am a diehard Mizzou fan. I watched Alden Smith throughout his entire college career, was very impressed with him, knew he was an absolute stud when he came into the league. He has obviously had a tumultuous off-the-field issues, you know, with a lot of things. Hopefully this is a step forward in him proving that he's been able to clean up his act. You know, I haven't heard of him in the news for quite a while, so I was actually very curious not too long ago what he was still doing. So I hope the guy can clean up his act and stay on the straight and narrow. I'd like to see him come back in the league and be as good as he was when he left. So I'm excited, but I'm also going to take this with a little bit of grain of salt.
Yeah, no, it's always a risk, and I think that's something with the NFL that's caused a lot. It's been a huge point of contention, and it's been a huge divide, I think, just from a conversation standpoint and where people stand on the NFL giving players second chances. And you hope that things go smoothly and that the player or individual has kind of figured out some of those tough situations that they've been in, whether by their own fault or by the fault of others. And however, you know, things shake out for them, you hope that they're able to take that second chance and appreciate it, work hard at it, and, you know, keep those demons away. But I'm just interested to see, like you said, he's a Missouri guy from Raytown. So everyone here in Kansas City, it's very close to home. Wishing him nothing but success, but definitely something that people will have their eye on. I loved what RJ said before we go to a break, and just to kind of recap that interview, I loved what he said, you know, with the whole contract situation right now. And I thought it was interesting talking about how the Cowboys have kind of approached their contracts in a way that it's like missing out on a sale. They somehow just have not been able to get that part down pat. But Dak Prescott wanting a reported $45 million a year, and just unsure if the Cowboys are going to be able to work that out. But I would imagine that they do. I can't, with everything going on right now, you're not going to make a huge change at quarterback. I don't think Andy Dalton, as we have heard, the signing of him was solely to be the backup. He's not going to come in and replace Dak Prescott. But I guess, Blake, do you see any chance that Dak Prescott is not the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys?
No, not really. I mean, I think the Andy Dalton signing was almost more of a, I don't know if it was a shot by Jerry Jones to say, hey, you know, you got to get on the train because we're rolling without you. So, yeah. And I think it's also a great backup. They got him super cheap. I mean, Andy Dalton's a Pro Bowl quarterback. Yep. I mean, people forget about that. So, you know, if let's say Dak Prescott got hurt, he's pretty injury free usually. But let's just say something happened. Let's say he's having a horrific season. They've got a proven backup that can come in and at least command an offense who's also a veteran. So, and I'm sure he's got things to teach Dak. So I'd be interested to see how this plays out throughout the entire year.
Yeah, I think it was a great pickup. Again, just kind of covering your bases, right? I think the Cowboys, I know that RJ described the CeeDee Lamb pick as brave in a way because it wasn't a desperate need for the Cowboys, but they're showing like a lot of investment in being a winning team and getting to the playoffs. They showed that the second that they made the head coaching change, and now the way that they've approached their roster, I think is very telling, especially if they can work this Dak Prescott deal out, that they're here to compete and turn things around. And I, for one, would actually love to see a Cowboys-Chiefs Super Bowl. I think it would just be really fun for a lot of different reasons. I think, again, who knows what will happen on the field? Are the Cowboys just receiving all of this hype and it's all going to fall flat? Who knows? We saw that happen with the Browns and all the big changes that they made. Baker Mayfield just did not live up to the expectations there, and they couldn't get things to materialize on the field. But I think that there's a lot of reason to believe that the Cowboys will live up to the hype. And as we know, the Chiefs returning so much of their talent, it's hard to see them not being even better than they were in 2019, which is a scary thought given that they won the Super Bowl. So that's going to be fun. Blake, before we go to break, if you had to pick a Super Bowl matchup between the Chiefs and an NFC team, what would it be?
I mean, I know this is probably the cop-out, but I really want to see the Tom Brady, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Chiefs Super Bowl, because I think that if Patrick beats Tom Brady, it'll be the passing of the torch. He wasn't able to get it last year because they got beat by the Titans in the playoffs. I want to see Tom Brady get beaten at the best possible Brady stage he can be at, to be the passing of the torch, to give the Chiefs kind of that new, okay, you are the new dynasty going forward. It was the old guard, passing it to the new guard. I think it would just be crazy symbolic, kind of a capper to Tom Brady's career, and just kind of a cool story all around.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think my other two teams, I'm with you on the Tampa Bay thing, and then even the Saints as well. I think if Patrick Mahomes can beat Drew Brees or Tom Brady in a big game, Tom Brady obviously being the bigger one for a lot of people, just given his Super Bowl success, it's just going to be that rite of passage that everyone's kind of waiting for. For anyone that's like somehow still questioning Patrick Mahomes, if that's even a thing.
Yeah,
or
is that even possible at this
point?
Need
to see him. I know, but like if people are waiting for him to kind of cross that threshold, then maybe that will just solidify what a lot of people already believe to be set in stone, and that is that Patrick Mahomes is on track and likely to be the best, one of the best, if not the best quarterback to play the game of football. We're going to take a break when we come back.
Oh, I was going to say real quick before we go to break, I said this the other day, and it was just kind of a joke, but it was also serious. Let's say Patrick Mahomes comes in next year, wins the Super Bowl, also wins a Super Bowl MVP. Hypothetically, if he was, for some odd reason, to retire after four seasons, that means that in three seasons, he won an NFL MVP, went to an AFC championship, he won the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl MVP, and then he won another Super Bowl and a Super Bowl MVP, and he retired. Do you think he would, and he threw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns. Do you think that 4-year stretch would be considered the greatest football, like the greatest stretch of football, and still allow him to get to the Hall of Fame even in 4 years? I know that's a crazy like hypothetical.
Ooh.
But think about that.
That's a good question. I mean, okay, as far as like looking at like that stretch of success, 100%, I don't think that will be replicated for a very long time, and I think it will be regarded for a long time as the best start to a career for any quarterback, as we've seen with the numbers. I need to go back and look at like the exact comparisons between him and other Hall of Fame quarterbacks during the same, you know, amount of time or at the same point in their career. But regardless, I mean, it's completely, we use the word unprecedented a lot right now. It's unprecedented what Patrick Mahomes has done. As far as whether or not it is enough to get him in the Hall of Fame, I think a big part of like the Hall of Fame induction process and selection process has to do with like the longevity of the career as well, or the period of time, which is like unfortunate, I think, to an extent, because I would say that Patrick Mahomes is without a doubt a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, but it's like that needs to be seen and on display over at least 10-15 years
for sure. So, and I think the comparison that I use is, okay, if you take, you know, let's say that stretch does happen, and then you take what we've seen with Eli Manning, I think we all kind of agree Eli will probably be a Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, probably.
Yeah.
Even though he only had a 500% winning percentage, he got two Super Bowls and two Super Bowl MVPs. He's a Manning. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Did we need the extra? Did we need the extra 10 years of losing to make sure that Patrick was, you know, had the longevity to be in the Hall of Fame? I guess I kind of look at it like that. But this is also just a crazy hypothetical I was thinking of the other day.
Hey, I love it. And maybe we're a bit biased here in Kansas City. I think you also look at the person that he is too. I know. I don't know when you're looking at the criteria where character falls or how heavy that weighs, but I think the leader that Mahomes is, the character he has on display, the way that he's embraced the KC community, he's an MVP and a Hall of Famer for more than just his on-field achievements. I think he's an incredible person off the field as well, and is going to make anyone around him better, which to me, like that right there is the definition of someone who's a Hall of Famer, right? They are able to elevate the performance of everyone around them, whether that's on the field or even off the field as well. So he's just remarkable. It's going to be really fun to watch the rest of his career. And he broke the Madden curse. I think that's the most important thing that people are forgetting. He literally broke a curse that many believed
to be very real for a long time.
Very real for a long time, and even did that despite having like a hobbled leg, whether it was the ankle or the dislocated kneecap for
half
the season.
Madden tried to get him, the curse tried to get him, and he was like, nah, he just stiff-armed it. He's like, I actually don't, injuries don't actually apply, I'm inhuman.
That's why Mahomes was so good with his legs this last season, and you know, gaining yards just on his own. He was running away from the Madden curse the whole time. So that's why he was turning on the Jets so often. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to play a couple of clips from Andy Reid's press conference talking about getting the rookies ready for the season while trying to do a lot of that virtually. And he said something about the Zoom meetings that made me laugh. So we'll take a break. When we come back, we will hear from Andy Reid. We will have some Blake's takes coming at you at the end of the show. A lot of fun stuff ahead still here on Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810.
New York's a state my city's in. I'm in who I hate. I pity him like a Branch Davidian. Got skills, got stamina. Got hands of stone like the champ from Panama. Bodies drop for body shots because I could box. No need for clocks or karate chops. So if you want to see who the best be, come and test me. Come and test me. Come and
welcome back to Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm your host, Allie Trost. Wake and Blake is running the board today, Mr. Blake Schneiders. Blake, you said you had some trivia for me.
Yeah, so it's not so much trivia as it's really, can you get, I guess it is trivia, can you guess who this is rapping at the moment?
Oh my gosh, honestly, no. I am probably the most, just like, I'm so bad with trivia, especially music trivia.
So this is actually boxing analyst and ESPN analyst Max Kellerman from back
Are
in
you
19-
kidding me?
I'm not kidding at all. From back in 1994, he had a group called Max and Sam, and that song is called Young Man Rumble.
Okay, weirdest resume ever, Max
right?
Kellerman.
Yeah, Max Kellerman.
It's like Kyle Brandt, who, you know, like on NFL Network and all of like the weird, like he was on like reality TV and stuff. I love seeing people who like have those types of like experiences as part of their career, I guess you could say. Was he like popular?
I mean, he's got a music video, so it wasn't unpopular.
Oh my gosh, stop.
It looks like a 90s rap music video. I don't think it obviously took off because I had never heard of Max and Sam before, but I mean, I found
that. I'm glad he found his way to ESPN. I think he's better suited there. But
yeah, although he was dropping some dope rhymes, though. Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Okay, well, Blake, we're going to have to take a page out of his book when we work on our own rap for our rhyming names for the show. So we'll maybe consult Max Kellerman. It's like, I'm sure he gets reached out to all the time for, like, career advice. And mine would be the most, I guess, just out of left field. Hey, Max, actually, yeah, I'd love to hear about your experience getting to ESPN, but let's go back a couple of decades to your experience rapping. Can you give us any advice there?
Yeah, right? That'd be insane.
That's what we're all interested in. Okay, well, let's jump into a couple of things from Andy Reid and his press conference. As we talked with RJ about in that last segment, it's going to be tough for teams to prepare for the season doing everything virtually. And when, you know, from the Cowboys standpoint, when you look at all of the challenges and then also trying to implement everything a new head coach might try and do ahead of a new season, whether that's culture related or just even a new playbook or whatever changes Mike McCarthy's going to have down in Dallas, trying to do a lot of that without getting to have the face-to-face time. It's tough. And the same thing goes for every team because of the draft and the rookie class that everyone is trying to get caught up to speed, whether that rookie is, you know, intended to have a bigger impact or maybe a lesser one, you still need to get everyone on the same page. So Andy Reid was asked about prepping the rookies during this time and what challenges they've had in doing that so far. So here's Andy Reid on that.
Yeah, so I have staff meetings and I still ask about the players and who's doing well and predominantly the rookies as far as learning. Because I think if we can over emphasize the learning part of it now, not that we don't, but we can really emphasize that now, that there's a chance it eliminates just an inch of that angst when they're on the field where they can perform athletically or physically to the best of their ability. So we're kind of putting a hammer down on that and working it and emphasizing it to the player. I'm getting good reports back from the coaches on the rookies. The guys are working their tail off right now. And, you know, coaches give quizzes and all those things too. So you get an idea of what feedback And you just have the guy, I'd go, hey, Nate, why don't you explain to the guys 22Z and take us through and detail it. So you get a feel there on exactly what the guys, what they know. And then you, with the rookies, you've got a couple extra hours that you can work with them. So the coaches have a little log time in there where they can get the rookies aside and visit with them.
So there's Andy Reid talking about just getting the rookies really well educated on everything that they need to know and bringing up a really important point so that the what you're learning now and what you're getting down memorized is just going to help your performance on the field, ease the anxiety and the nerves that might come with your first NFL performance, your first NFL start, whatever it is. So I thought that was interesting. But then he talks about the Zoom element, and BJ Kissel was asking him about the install meetings and, you know, again, particularly how that pertains to the rookies and how those are going. And just, Blake, play this clip because I was cracking up at, you know, every Zoom kind of downside that people are dealing with, NFL teams are too. So I thought that this was really funny when Reid talks about keeping players engaged.
Yeah, so we've tried to keep this time consistent. They've got a two-hour period with the veterans. That's what you have. With the rookies, you have a five-hour period that you can work with them. So we try to work in a couple extra hours for the rookies to meet. We were originally doing it with Dave Tobe and the coaches. So Dave got a little bit of special teams introduction to the guys, and then the coaches had them for a nice block of 2 hours. But anyways, you've got that extra time, and our coaches use that. So they get on with them, and in some cases, just one or two guys in a room. So they get, or whatever we're calling these rooms, but we're doing it this way here. So virtually, but it's they get that time, and right now for those kids, time's important, and your attitude and approach to that is important. Are you going to stay awake looking at this screen? Are you going to stay awake? We make them keep their face showing and not click off the camera. So we see them where that's a little bit of interaction there. One of the things we always teach the guys is when the coach is talking, try to make eye contact with them if you're not writing something down so that you stay focused on it. And whether it's on the field or in a meeting, eyes up and on the person that's speaking. So these guys are doing that. We've had 100% participation, and they're cranking. I mean, they're going, and I've been very happy with that, their approach to it. So far, so good.
I mean, Blake, I don't know about you, but when Andy Reid's talking about, like, hey, make eye contact, no clicking off the screen, stay awake, all this stuff, I'm like, okay, I feel like that sums up my high school experience pretty well, or like my, you know, your college class. It literally sounds like all of the problems that college students, high school students, parents teaching their kids while, you know, via Zoom and all of that. It's like the NFL rookies, it's like the same thing, just as professional football players.
I can tell you from firsthand experience that from high school to college, falling asleep in meetings is a very real thing, and it is pretty funny or horribly scary, depending on what side of it you're on. If you're the one sleeping, it can be horribly scary. I know that, you know, you wake up at like 4:20 to get up, and you start doing your morning two-a-days, and then you have to go to class all day, and then, you know, obviously not with the NFL guys, but, you know, you got to do learning, and you got your workouts, and then you got to go do your stretching and everything to cool down, and then you've got some meetings you got to go to, and then you have practice in the afternoon, and then you come back, and then you got to watch film that night. You are dog tired. So when you start sitting there in a dark room watching film or in these meetings, it is really easy for your eyes to just kind of clock out on you. So I all too well know exactly what he's talking about.
I never experienced that firsthand. My brother played football at Tulsa and was a kicker. And I mean, despite his position being like special teams, he still had like the, you know, you're working out together, you're still involved in every single aspect of the game. The workouts that he would describe to me, just like his everyday schedule, like every hour or like time block is accounted for pretty much.
Oh, 100%.
Got stuff going on the whole time.
Oh yeah.
What position did you play?
So I played wide receiver, but I also played every special team. So I held the kicks. I was the gunner. I was on punt return, kickoff return, onside kick, hands team. So I literally did every position pretty much possible.
My gosh.
I walked into the meeting when I was in the college, and jokingly I was like, "Hey coach, if you ever need a kick holder, you know, I got you." He was like, "Really?" I turned around, I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "All right, cool. That's your new position." And I was like, "Man, I didn't realize it was going to be that easy. I would have asked to play quarterback."
Yeah, like go in, ask for more, and then expect less. I
exactly.
guess, next time, but
I set the bar low.
No, it's not the case. But I just thought like. Hearing Andy Reid talk about, like, with professional football players, these guys just got drafted or undrafted free agents, whatever the case, and they are, he's like having to quiz them not to fall asleep in meetings. Hey, don't click off the screen. Like, if Andy Reid told me to, like, do anything, like, if I'm a football player and Andy Reid, just the experience he has, any NFL coach for that matter, but, like, the way he's regarded, I mean, I'd be like, yes, sir, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, yes, sir. All of the players who are after they were drafted, just the constant yes, sirs. But it sounds like Reed and the staff have a good handle on things. I think when a time like the one we're in right now pops up, you want a coach that has the experience of Andy Reed. I think that that's going to help give them a competitive edge in all of this, that other teams who are either going through a coaching change, maybe have a less experienced head coach leading the way, they might struggle with. I just think that the Chiefs, it sounds like Coach Reed has a good handle on things. He said another thing, we won't play the clip, but during the press conference, just, you know, he was asked if you don't get to do any sort of on-field practice work with the guys ahead of the season, if there is no, you know, padded practices, or you just don't get to do the same type of, if your preseason, if your training camp look completely different, you don't get to do what you usually do, how are you going to be ready? And he was like, yeah, we'll figure it out, we'll be ready. And I just think that when you're a head coach of a team and you have that mindset of, hey, whatever happens, whatever, you know, everyone else is dealing with this too, we'll be ready, we'll find other ways to be ready. I know Peter Vermes with Sporting Kansas City has been very much in that camp of, well, we will prepare. I'm going to do everything we can to get the guys ready for a season when it returns. Great to hear the same thing from Andy Reid as well. I just think that that is something when you have an experienced coach, it definitely carries its weight just with the, you just can't really replicate some of the things that they're able to do and the things that they've experienced, what they know, the vast knowledge that they bring. So I think that the Chiefs are in very good hands for a lot of reasons, but having Andy Reid and his experience throughout all of this is a good one. Blake, let's get over to Blake's takes, but what do we need to take a break before, or can we go straight into it?
We are good. We can go right into it.
Let's do it. The time's yours.
You better buckle your seatbelt, because it's time for Blake's Takes. The NFL is considering another rule change as of this week. We take a look at the Philadelphia Eagles this week to put forth a new proposal to the league to add an additional option on kickoffs that would give an alternate version to the onside kick. This proposes that the scoring team would get the option to kick an onside kick, or the new proposal would be to have a chance to convert a 4th and 15 from their own 25-yard line. Now, this has been getting quite the rumbling around the league as of lately, because it's definitely a pretty cool option. Onside kicks are very low probability of being got. The Atlanta Falcons kicker, Youngway Koo, is one of the best in the league at doing it. Also, Mason Crosby is really good at doing it. So it's one of those things that is very interesting when you do get it, but it is not widely successful. Now, 4th and 15 is a little more appeasing, because you put the ball into the hands of a player, your quarterback, who you are trusting more than everybody else. Now, you're only going to get the 4th and 15. Obviously, if you don't convert, the opposing team gets the ball on your own 25-yard line, which you're also giving up that chance when you're doing an onside kick. So the real question is how do we feel about the new proposal? As we know, Patrick Mahomes is pretty dang studly when it comes to fourth and long. I mean, we've had miraculous things happen when he'd done fourth and long. So last year alone, Patrick Mahomes was 12 of 16 on fourth and 15, or third and 15 and longer. 12 of 16 for 255 yards and 3 touchdowns. That's a 75% conversion rate. So, with this new proposal, how do we feel about Patrick Mahomes, or not just Patrick Mahomes' chances, but everybody's chance of throwing this in as a wrinkle to the onside kick? And how does this bode for the league as far as the role of special teams? Is this good? Are we seeing special teams phased out? I'm not really sure. I think that it's one of those issues that special teams has always been part of the game. You want to take everything that that has offered because that's one of the best places that people get their opportunity on teams. Good, bad, different rules of the league. How do we feel about it? Allie, what's up?
The reason I love it so much is because my job is to cover the Kansas City Chiefs, and the quarterback that the Kansas City Chiefs have just so happens to be Patrick Mahomes, who is the best quarterback that you could have for this type of rule. And Andy Reid said yesterday in his presser, like, yeah, we've got the guy who can do it. The real question in all of this is like, and it's really like with any league, especially football, baseball is another one. When you're talking about rule changes, there's always this conversation or question of, well, how does it treat the integrity of the game, or does it ruin the integrity of the game? And Andy Reid said that he considers himself a bit more old school, but I think that this is something that just helps make the game more exciting. I mean, you talk about the probability with the onside kick, and it's like, let's spice things up a little bit. Let's make this more exciting. And I believe a part of the proposal, and maybe they'll add more, I guess, rules to the rule of when you can use it. But I believe you can only use this twice a game in the proposal. Like, you can't just do this every single kickoff. And maybe it's a case where it's only if your team is trailing, or I don't know what kind of wrinkles that they would add again to this rule. But I like it. I think there's a lot of reasons to like it. Adam Teicher of ESPN tweeted, and I thought this was interesting, when you know, everything about this new rule proposal was coming out, the Chiefs didn't go for it on fourth and 15 or longer last year, but Mahomes was 12 of 16 for 255 yards and 3 touchdowns on third and 15 or more in regular season games. And that doesn't even count the Jet Chip Wasp play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So again, just more reason to know that, like, hey, Mahomes is the guy to do it. And I think, you know, when you have a coach like Andy Reid, the most creative offensive mind, that's who you want. Like, again, this is like a rule that would totally just favor the Chiefs. Maybe not some other teams that don't have quarterbacks who are as dynamic as Mahomes is, especially on deep balls or on passing plays of trying to gain a significant number of yards. But Blake, what do you think about it?
So I'm kind of split on this right now. Obviously, being the biased Kansas City fan that I am, knowing we have a quarterback with one of the best arms in the league, the best arm in the league.
The best
arm in the league. And knowing his prowess for just making plays on the fly and having things come, you know, almost drawing him up as they just appear magically, I love it because it gives your quarterback another opportunity to make something happen and putting the ball in the hands of playmakers instead of relying on your special teams on a play that has a very low percentage chance across the board. That being said, I made my meat and potatoes on special teams. I know a lot of people that do. Kickers, I feel, are getting, their role is kind of getting phased out of the game, and I don't like it because they are, you know, people can say whatever they want. Most football coaches have this weird thing with kickers where they say, we have a lot of football players on our team, then we have our kickers. You know, they're kind of talked about as weirdos or, you know, whatever. They're kind of outliers, but they can also be the most crucial person on your team, you know. Other than the quarterback, they got to be the most clutch. So I'm kind of split on how I feel the NFL is going in terms of phasing out special teams in general. I mean, you got guys like people like Devin Hester and Dante Hall and even Anthony Sherman and guys who have made their entire bread on special teams. So, yes, I love the proposal. I think you're gonna start seeing it a lot more if it does eventually go through. I also think the skill of kicking an onside kick is what allows you to gain that chance to have the ball back. We know your quarterback's already good, but how good is your kicker? How good is that 12th man, you know, essentially on your team that isn't getting used, but how good can he be? So it's almost, to me, I love it, but it's also kind of a cop-out. It's like, okay, you're just going to put your quarterback back on the field instead of using how skilled is your kicker? Because then it puts more onus on the teams to really evaluate kickers, and they're not just something you can kind of throw in and get by with a really subpar kicker. So I'm very up in the air on it, but I think it could be very exciting.
Well, and it's interesting too, because it definitely adds more value to the quarterback position, right? Like another element of the game that they need to be capable of doing. And again, it favors a quarterback and a team, a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes and a team like the Chiefs, but that's not necessarily the case across the board for all quarterbacks and all teams. So again, it's kind of up to the team's discretion as to whether or not they would, you know, opt to use this or not. But I'm with you in that it does seem like it is going to phase out special teams one way or another, depending on whether or not this is implemented. But even if it is implemented, and there are restrictions as to when you can use it, how often you can use it, well, it's still a step towards phasing out special teams. And I just feel like as, you know, seasons progress, it would, you know, more layers are added or another wrinkle is added to the rule, another proposal that would just kind of minimize the role of special teams. So I'm with you, but I do think that it's exciting. And again, covering the Chiefs, it's something that I am excited to see, not just for them, but across the league as well, in building excitement with the game and hopefully finding a way around, just like you mentioned, the low probability, like it's the onside kick. There needs to be a change in my mind. And I think that this is a fun proposal. I'm for it. But Blake, I don't know. We're just going to see. There's a lot more that needs to be figured out. So this, it would be fun. But
yeah, I mean, it'll definitely add a lot more to the strategy of the game too, because, you know, do you trust your kicker? What if your kicker's not been feeling that great that week in practice and your quarterback's been on all game, you know? So I think it's one of those things that it's going to add a total, another level of strategy to the entire game of an already complicated strategic game.
Right. And because, again, when it comes to the timing of when you use it, it might not, again, given that there are restrictions to when you can do this, it also, it's like determining the right time to do it. And so it's like part of the strategy isn't just how you're going to do it, but figuring out the right time to do it in a game. You know, it's just going to be interesting. But we are nearing the end of our show, sadly. It's been fun. I have a couple of just 8-10 things to run through for all of you to be aware of. Number one, as our community starts opening back up, as things start getting somewhat back to normal, like I said, I'm going to a restaurant tonight. I'm excited, not just to get back outside and, you know, do it safely and enjoy being out to eat, something that I have definitely missed doing, but getting people back to work. So we have a group on Facebook hosted by Sports Radio 810 called KC Area Businesses Affected by COVID-19. In this group, there are a few hundred people right now and growing. This group is geared towards getting the word out. If you are a local business and you have something that you are, a special you're running, updated hours, how your company is practicing social distancing and safely reopening, and you want consumers to know about it, post about it in this group. It is free to join. It is public. Anyone can see what you were posting in this. So definitely go check that out and join. Also, some exciting Memorial Day programming over here on Sports Radio 810. On Monday night or Monday afternoon and into the night, we will be playing an NFL Greatest Games doubleheader with the Chiefs Super Bowl 54 victory and Super Bowl one, the first time that the Super Bowl one radio broadcast is being aired ever. Like this, it hasn't been aired before. So this is really cool. Our partners over at Westwood One making this happen. So that game, Packers Chiefs Super Bowl one, which wasn't called that at the time, but for the sake of this, we were calling it Super Bowl one, 7 p.m. And then before that, we will have Super Bowl 54 Chiefs 49ers, which I think we all remember how that game played out. That is at 3:30, again, followed by Packers Chiefs in the first Super Bowl at 7 p.m. So a lot of fun stuff to look forward to. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us today on Sports Saturday. A big shout out to RJ Ochoa for an awesome interview talking all things Cowboys. You can find this whole show up on the podcast page under additional programming. And thanks again for just joining us, having fun with us today. Have a safe, happy, healthy, fun Memorial Day weekend. And we will see you again right here on Sports Radio 810 next week on Sports Saturday, 9 to 11 a.m. For Blake Schneiders, I'm Allie Trost, and this has been Sports Saturday. No time.